Some of you have probably heard the little inspirational story about the three bricklayers, where a man was walking by and there were three bricklayers doing their work. And the man asked the first bricklayer, he said, "What are you doing?" And the man said, "I'm laying bricks." And he walked on to the second bricklayer and he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building a wall." And he walked to the third bricklayer and he said, "What are you doing?" And the bricklayer said, "I'm building a cathedral for the glory of God." And it's used to inspire us to look at the big picture and see the greater plan and good of what we're doing with our lives or in our work or in our studies. What is the ultimate purpose and plan? And so it ought to inspire us to work toward that vision. But the truth is that even the third bricklayer that's so often used and highlighted as an example, he has to pay attention to the details of laying each brick, brick by brick, what the first guy mentioned. And he also, in building the great cathedral for the glory of God, has to make sure he attends to what the second bricklayer mentioned, building the wall, making it straight, making it even to contribute to the whole structure. And even as he imagines building this great cathedral to the glory of God, he has to pay attention to what its purpose is for people to use that space to worship God. And so in order to fulfill the vision, the person, even with the big picture in mind, has to attend to the details. In our particular cases, in our lives, as we pursue that greater vision, as we live a life for the glory of God and the greater good, we have to attend to the basic figuratively laying of brick by brick, of building wall by wall, day by day. And we look to God to not only show us the big vision, but also to help us in the day-to-day details and application of those daily tasks. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus reminds us that we are servants of God and that we have a duty to him. We're blessed that our master is a loving God who cares for us. He's a loving father who's made us even more than servants. Through Christ, he's adopted us as his sons and daughters and given us the same status as the firstborn son, Jesus Christ, with whom he's made us co-heirs. Like so much in Scripture, there's a dichotomy of seemingly contradictory assertions. On one hand, we are servants, and some would even say we are slaves to God and have a duty to serve him as he guides and instructs us. And we're beloved children of God, sons and daughters to whom he invites and gives a place at the table to recline with him in his kingdom. And his family. And so both these two sides of the coin have to be held and grasped together. How do we live as servant sons and servant daughters of God, a master and a father? Such questions and paradoxes and ponderings may be what is behind the disciples' request of Jesus, as shared in the gospel today. Increase our faith. Help us live this life, Lord. And as so often is the case, the Lord's answer to them doesn't resemble at all how I might imagine Jesus answering a question to his followers. I would imagine Jesus saying something like an answer that gives them instructions. Well, here's what to do to increase your faith. You do this, this, and this, and then you'll have more faith. Or I would expect him to maybe even placing his hands on them and blessing them and miraculously giving to them more faith in answer to their request. Or at least encouraging them. Well, you know, you guys are coming along. You'll get it. You've got some faith. You're doing good. Just keep it up. But that's not at all what Jesus says. When they say increase our faith, he says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Oh. What? What about about the disciples' self-esteem? What about a little pat on the back? What about some step-by-step instructions? But that's what Jesus says. And that's what Luke includes in this gospel, in his manuscript. Of all the things Jesus did and said, he wanted us to know this about faith. This faith that Jesus describes is proactive. It's not the kind of faith or the use of faith to believe something and to receive it and to be encouraged and comforted. That's a good faith. This faith that Jesus is talking about takes initiative. It's the faith that makes something happen. It's the faith that changes the world and changes lives, ours and others. It's the faith that goes beyond believing for a better tomorrow and creates a better today. That's the kind of faith Jesus is talking about. It's a faith that speaks and declares and demonstrates. It's a faith that boldly steps up to challenges and goes all out in the name of Jesus. If Jesus came to us, like I often go to my wife and say, can you help me find something? I don't know where it is. Keys, wallet, anointing oil, hat. Two hats, actually, this week. I know that we would drop everything and help Jesus find what he's looking for. Well, later in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So in response to that, I want to help Jesus find faith. I want to stir up my own faith and dig up some faith among us all that can be presented to Jesus when he comes and searches for faith, and that will delight him in what he finds. A faith that demonstrates to him that we not only believe to receive, but we believe to act and to initiate. I've been caught sleeping on a job before. Not this job. But my first job, in fact. My friend Paul and I were hired to water the soccer fields in Edmond, Oklahoma one summer. Big soccer fields. Bigger, like three times as big as River Road in town. In Oklahoma, every summer it's super hot and it's dry. So we had to get out there at 5 a.m. while it was dark and start watering the fields. Our moms would drop us off, and then we'd put these big pipes together, connect them to the water, and set the sprinklers on. And then we'd turn the wheelbarrows on the side on their handles and grab a blanket and take a nap in the shed. Well, one day we took a nap a little bit too hard, and the lady who was our boss drove up and pulled up and walked up and caught us napping. And of course she got onto us, and then she was always checking on us. We lost that. But it's never a good feeling to be caught sleeping on the job like that, even as a young teenager. Well, Jesus is coming to look for a church that's awake and alive, that's active with powerful faith, daily exercise in their lives, and impacting the world with the expression of that faith. Well, I think in this gospel story, the mulberry tree, Jesus speaks of moving by faith. You know, it's something figurative that speaks to whatever it is in our lives that needs moving, that needs addressing, or whatever it is in the vision that God has for us that needs us to pursue it by faith to make it happen. And on the other hand, I do think Jesus is saying, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can truly move this tree from here to there, changing the world, changing the environment. There's a lot that faith can do. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus really does harp on this message and theme in his Gospels. In Mark chapter 9, the father of a boy who has demon possession is desperate for his son to be healed, and he says to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus responds to him and says, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And then Jesus delivers and heals the boy. Matthew tells us in his gospel that after that episode, the disciples who had tried it on their own and failed came to Jesus and said, Master, why couldn't we drive out the demon and heal the boy? And Jesus said, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It seems like Jesus is really emphasizing this point about the power of faith to change lives, to change the world, and the desperate need for his disciples and us, his disciples, to grasp it and to do it. Another time in Mark's gospel, a whole other time, Jesus cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any fruit on it. And his disciples were in awe when the fig tree withered. And they remarked about it to Jesus. They said, look, the fig tree you cursed, it's withered, it's dead. And Jesus looked at them and he said, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Moving trees and mountains, it's impossible. But Jesus is repeatedly telling us that with faith in God, an assurance of his presence with us, that what he wills is never impossible, and it's never too difficult for faith to do, for faith to overcome, for faith to create. This is what Jesus is constantly promising us. And after his resurrection, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on his disciples, one day in Acts chapter 3, it tells a story about Peter and John, who they go to the temple just like a normal day, and there's a lame person standing there, or sitting there, I'm sorry, as he probably always was, asking for money. And Peter looks at him and says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately, the man got to his feet, his ankles and legs were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. A miracle. A mountain had been moved. A tree had been upplanted. This man leapt for joy. Is this what Jesus is expecting from the likes of us? This type of miracle produced by faith.
Amen.
I don't know if he expects that exact thing, but I think he is encouraging us that with faith in God, with faith in how God has called us to be his servants and his children, we can exercise this power of faith in his name in our daily circumstances, the context that we find ourselves in, believing for the impossible, overcoming the impossible, achieving the impossible by faith in God. He encourages us to go for it, to have faith, to take the initiative, and to be bold and courageous and risky in his name. It may seem like Jesus is putting too much pressure on us. It may seem like what I'm telling you is, hey, just try harder. Grip things tighter. Will it more to happen? You might think, man, aren't we just supposed to come to church and be encouraged and inspired and comforted and feel good about what we do believe? It may seem like in light of this kind of teaching that comes from Jesus, we may feel lackluster. Like, man, I'm not doing enough. I mean, I experience that. Like, why can't we just go about our business assured of heaven and relax about it? I've got faith for that. Well, that's why we read the Gospels. That's why we read the New Testament, to hear from God what he's instructing us, what he's counseling us. It might be that what Jesus is saying to us is, listen, I know you want to come and sit and recline at the table now, but what I need for you to say is, I'm an unworthy servant. Lord, what are you calling me to do? I think the Lord is nudging us at times, and maybe this is one of those times, to get back up and serve him more energetically, more faithfully, more confidently that our service to God is producing fruit and results that may have seemed impossible, but they're not. I think Jesus is encouraging us. I'm not done with you yet. I am increasing your faith, but you have to believe. You have to envision what it's for and take the steps day by day to lay those bricks, to build the wall first and then the cathedral. And I think Paul is saying something similar to this in both his letters to Timothy. We have the first chapter of the second letter today. And in that letter, Paul says, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. I think Paul might be calling out Timothy a little bit. Listen, I know your grandma, I know your mom. I'm expecting some things of you, to have faith like them. And he says to them, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And later, throughout the letter, Paul encourages Timothy. He says to him, be like a good soldier. Be like a hard-working farmer. Be like a disciplined athlete. He urges him to show himself approved as a worker for God. Paul is charging him to fulfill his calling and his purpose all the way to the uttermost. Paul and Jesus, they do seem like they're putting some pressure on us to exercise our faith diligently in the expression of our calling for life and in the circumstances day by day that we face. But they put the pressure on us only because they know that we have the resources through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of the Holy Spirit, through the soundness of mind and discipline of the Holy Spirit that is in us to excel through that pressure and to overcome. They put the pressure on us because they know that God has given us the power and enabled us to respond with faith and courage and with success.
Amen.
It's like Jesus is saying, listen to me. If you have faith, you can do this.
Yeah.
It's like Paul is saying, be committed. Go all out for the Lord. He's with you to accomplish his purpose. Be strong and courageous in what you believe and in what that belief inspires you to do. Both Jesus and Paul confirm again and again that the duties that God gives to us, that he impresses upon our hearts, that he inspires us to envision and to pursue, he's given us the power to accomplish it.
That's right.
He's given us the means and the resources we need. They both, Paul and Jesus, recognize our sinfulness, our weakness, our deficiencies. And they say those aren't excuses. God's given you more. God's overcome that too. You've received a spirit of power, love, and soundness of mind. And Jesus tells us you've received power from on high, from the Holy Spirit. He's in you. So I think God is looking for us to be inspired, to be boldly faithful and to assert the kingdom of God in this world, to shine a light that overcomes the darkness and to create with our faith what resembles the kingdom of God. And sometimes it's just the desires of our heart that God calls us to be faithful to pursue, believing that we can achieve it. It might be school. It might be the next step in a career. It might be a miracle in our family. It might be an improvement in our health. It might be something that we desire, that we imagine. I think God delights in us to achieve and to receive those things, and it requires faith. I want to close with inviting you to participate in just a time of prayer to see if maybe this morning God will inspire anything on your heart. A few weeks ago, the gospel lesson was on being a disciple of Jesus and that if someone will follow Jesus, he or she has to renounce even themselves. And we had a time of prayer and listened, you know, God, are you calling me to give up anything or to renounce anything? And I was surprised the second service as I was being quiet, and the Lord really impressed upon me, put on my heart, spoke in my spirit, and said, renounce being tired. And I thought, fine, I will. And the next day I had to do it about, I mean, it seemed like 50 times. And the next day, another 50 times, I kept thinking to myself, man, I'm so tired. No, I'm not. I renounce being tired. God, fill me with energy. Fill me with your supernatural energy and strength. And I still have to renounce being tired. But it shows that God will speak to us what he calls and gives us to do. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you the guidance. So I invite you to just take a minute of quiet prayer and listen for God to put something on your heart, a vision in your mind, maybe a prayer to start praying again and believing for, or maybe a new prayer to start believing, or a plan, a path for your life, or something you're worried about. God will say, pray to me, stop worrying, believe. So let's take a moment of prayer. Father, come and inspire us with your word and your spirit.